Welcome to Windows into Eternity with Almeen. This hour you will receive powerful revelations of a world where mystery and miracles are commonplace. Here's your host, Almeen.
Hello again. This is Almeen, and we've got Rogier Sade on the phone with us, and we're ready to ask all sorts of fun questions today, things we may not have thought of before, and we hope you're ready for them. So, Rogier, what have we got?
What we've got today is, first of all, I wanted to sort of tap a bit of the potential of one of the previous shows in which you discussed the we discussed the clock that was provided by the Jean Galabrouk, and which was about synchronizing the etheric and the physical, and it also involved these new star systems around the planet. And, you know, of course, that then touched upon themes such as the hologram around the Earth, etc. But I wanted to talk a little bit about that because, first of all, you said that the old star systems, or actually the old, let's just start with the planets around the Earth, that they, the ones that we still think are there, they shot away because their energy was not congruent with our energy after August of 2006. Is that what you said?
Yes, it is.
But I thought that we had simply moved to a different area of space, and that
yes,
there was a hologram to obscure that.
We moved to a different area of space, just like you're pointing out, Rogier, and then the configurations of the planets weren't where they're supposed to be. Then, when we got to the point where we no longer were going to move linearly, because Mother was eliminating these linear travels as a way of producing linear time, they were called around our planet. And I remember it was, let me just see exactly. It was in September of 2006 that Mother called the leaders of planetary systems and said, your planets need to come and align themselves and lie around the Earth. Some of them flat out refused. One such one was Oxanuhuratep of Antares. And, you know, she didn't just do the 12 planetary signs of the zodiac. She made layers. She wanted to make a layer of stars around us. And they flatly refused, and she completely replaced them. She called new leaders, even for the Pleiades, new leadership, some females, you know, some males, in terms of who the leaders were, but they were the most conscious beings on that planet or in the planetary system. So she chose the highest consciousness levels. All of them became corrupted. So she replaced the old leadership. She called them close. All of the planetary leaders that she called as new leaders became corrupted and corrupted the whole star system. And so eventually the star system's energy moved away from us because it was opposite, and opposite energies were repelling as of August of 2006.
But so are you saying that we could have theoretically moved to a different area and still have these planets around us, but it's just that in the process, it turned out that they became incompatible?
Yes. Mother only started to move things around us when we no longer moved ourselves.
I see. All right. And now, what I find kind of interesting here is, and you know, I get a question through YouTube sometimes, and usually I direct them through to the Spiritual Journeys office, but sometimes when there's new people and they have kind of general questions, or just want to know just anything, I refer them to the Spiritual Journeys office, but I also say that generally publicly you do not really discuss themes such as religion and astrology for similar reasons. Now, of course, we have been doing videos on the Book of Revelation and the hologram around the Earth and etc., but the implications for astrology as we know it are, of course, pretty fundamental. So what would you say about that?
You know, Rahir, it was very interesting, but I noticed that the astrology we thought we had, which is not accurate, but that it was actually quite, very, very astonishingly mapping out things that were happening to a very reasonable amount of accuracy. So what my feeling of this is, and I have not checked this with Mother, that this is a feeling, this is my gut instinct on this. We have a fake sky. We have fake planets. The astrologers over eons of existence have been reading the planets. Some of them accurately, some of them not accurately, because there are some anomalies that they are not seeing. That are dark rings and things like that, that nevertheless have a pull on things. But to a large degree of accuracy, they've been able to read it. Now there's a fake sky. It looks to me that what Mother is doing when I check and I see how they are really able to map out, if they're good at what they do, they're really able to map out some of the changes that are indeed occurring. Well, there's no factual basis for it. But I think Mother is keeping a sky in place that we can read what is happening within the cosmos and certainly on Earth. So you see what I'm saying? They're completely based on not factual basis anymore, but I believe Mother is using it as a means to give answers. So it would still work to some extent if the astrologer knows what they're doing.
But I could obviously be wrong here, but I kind of assumed that the deductions or predictions made from astrology were simply looking at the paradigm that's being utilized and saying, well, now Mars is there and in relation to so-and-so, etc., and therefore this, rather than people gazing at the sky to see what's happening.
Okay, but now let's say Mars is here and therefore this and this happens. Mother has put Mars there in the movie that our sky has become because this and this is happening. Previously it was the cause. Now it's actually the effect. Either way it can be read. Do you understand?
Yeah, but what would be the point of sustaining that for very much longer, especially since often astrologists get it wrong as well?
Well, there are also very accurate astrologers. The accuracy has never been at 100%, but a very good astrologer is amazing in terms of how well they could read it. So, you know, I know nothing about astrology, okay? Really, seriously, nothing. But I know truth when I see it, and I have seen remarkable accuracy, and to my great surprise, some of this accuracy has continued. I would not have thought that possible. Mother is allowing them to read life the way they did before by producing effects in the sky that tells the story before the effects in the sky created the story to some extent. So, same thing.
Okay, so how would this then relate to, how would this system then relate to the actual star system that's around the planet? I mean, how do those things interact? Do they bite each other, so to speak?
No. This actual star system around the planet, and by the way, thank you. These are really good questions. The actual star system around the planet is what is doing specific influences in the affairs of man. But their influences, how can I say it, is more a matter of what is most dominant. Now, I don't know enough of astrology to be talking about some of this, but their influence is what becomes dominant. Exactly how their influences work, I received from the Jean Galabruc, which are the cat people, and it's written in the opening the doors of heaven. So people can see how those influences work. I believe that the way the sky was read from our other planets was done in a different way than the way I received their influence. Their influence makes traits dominant. I am sorry, I don't know how astrology properly works, but that it's a very real influence, yes it is. That's why we've published it, and it was translated and put in amongst the translations of the records of Isis, because it's important. It does influence life, and if we cooperate with it, it's tremendous consciousness can come from that. If we knew what we were doing, I mean, if I really knew what the questions were, I could map out how to trace a new form of astrology. I absolutely could, because they are influencing us. But how they're influencing us is actually showing like a movie in what we think our own old planetary systems are.
Okay, so, but then are you saying, or would you think then that, let's say we have some future point at which, you know, astrology acknowledges that there is indeed a whole different bunch of planets around the Earth, would we then still have the same kind of methodology, as in saying, well, now this planet is there and so, and therefore this, or is this whole idea of influences and the kind of, you know, impelling on human affairs that it does, would you think that's going to change? Because it seems a kind of linear thing as well, doesn't it?
Well, it does. However, the sovereignty of the being is getting stronger and stronger and stronger as Mother has made us more and more real. She has brought us out of smaller and smaller screens to larger and larger screens, and she has created more of a 3D effect and eventually a virtual reality that comes out of the screen in terms of making us real. The individual sovereignty is a very real part of it. It's called manifestation. However, if there are propitious times that cooperate with the destiny of the human, if there is a time that is really very much better to receive than for output, which we've mapped out in our book, Opening the Doors of Heaven, that should be considered.
But now you're speaking of hours in the day rather than months in the year.
See, that's it. It's like the Atlantean calendar that we have in Secrets of the Hidden Realms. Here, it maps out time, but it's a calendar. We use a clock to map our time, and we use our calendar to map out the day, you know, in terms of what day it is. The Atlantean calendar starts to bridge those two things, because it maps out. You can say on your calendar, you can write a date, for instance, on the calendar of the Atlanteans, to within 5 minutes of what occurred. So you can put a 5 minute period of the day on your calendar as part of that calendar. So, you know, what the Jean Galabruc gave me is just the skimming the surface. They have libraries and libraries that deal with their clock. I'm happy to sit and translate it, you know, but I don't even really know what the questions are. But the point is that their clock is a day-by-day clock, but it's going into calendars. I just don't know how to read it properly. I've read what it is in the day, so it's more of a clock. But there is an extension, because this clock, I saw it in their library. They had a huge map on the wall, and they had this clock that I've given in Opening the Doors of Heaven that fit into an extension. There was a bigger circle around it, with all sorts of intricate glyphs. That bigger circle contains the astronomy of the year, because it maps out the frequencies But the year is different in that we don't revolve around the sun. So the year is simply a specific number of 24-hour segments, because we do still take 24 of our usual hours to go around our own axis. So it would be a certain number of those. Mother is saying something. If you hold on, I'll get it, and then we'll take a little break. Hold on a second. Ishbakla uste ishna vastahva pirech vavi. She says, you already know this. She said, you have been given the 300 wheels of the goddess. Mother, we have 300 incredible-looking wheels that came out of the palace that are the wheels that represent the functions of the building blocks. Mother is saying that the first 300 I received are 300 days of a year. So there are 300 days in the year. And she is saying each of those wheels has a specific quality that matches a specific day of that year.
But we're saying there's 300 days in the year, at least?
Yes.
Technically?
In the Jhongalabruk year, there are 300 days, according to what Mother has just said. Hold your thoughts. Let's have a quick break.
The Complete Power Of and the Mystical Keys series of radio programs are part of the Premier CD set. They are available from Al Mean at www.spiritualjourneys.com. Request the entire Premier CD series set or the new book, Aruba Farina, The Book of Fairy Magic, by calling 502-499-0016 today. After 3 months of intense physical preparation in January 2004, Almin experienced a transfiguration, entering the presence of the infinite for the second time since moving into God consciousness, the state of no longer identifying with the ego, in 2000. In the weeks that followed, the powerful revelations contained in this book emerged from that all-encompassing silence. Having lost most of her linear thinking during this transition, much of this book has been written without conscious thought. This form of automatic writing, like automatic speaking she now does, flows freely from source into her own handwriting from which it was transcribed. Few have entered into God consciousness to leave the bliss to teach. Still fewer enter the stage of immortal master and in addition continue to function among the masses. But as a Toltec Nagual and seer, Almin's life is dedicated to leading others to complete freedom from mortal boundaries. Journey to the Heart of God is an opportunity of a lifetime to see through the eyes of one who has encountered the indescribable realms of eternity. From such a perspective come insights that can heal the deepest wounds of alienation found in human hearts. Journey to the Heart of God contains, no matter how profound, truth. Truth that can be recognized for what it is, and it is the truth that shall set us free. Pick up a copy of The Journey to the Heart of God and discover your personal truth and freedom through Almin's books, CDs, workshops, lectures, and magazine by logging on to www.spiritualjourneys.com.
Welcome back. Andrew here. That got a little complex. I hope I answered it properly. What else was there that we wanted to talk about in relating to that, or did I get it properly?
Well, it is a little bit complex. I don't think we got everything because I'm still not clear if this means then. Well, see, what I'm thinking is you said if you knew the questions, then you could retrieve the information. Well, then it should probably be done because by the looks of it, there would still have to be a lot of information that could be retrieved about some sort of new art of astrology. I mean, wouldn't you
say so? It would make astrology to the hour. So you would know that in this hour, the conjunction of this quality and this quality makes this. Yes, it would. I could do a whole book on that, actually.
Well,
I don't even know how astrology works, so I would have to get it straight from the Jhongalabruk and simply just translate it.
Well, then we should do a book on that as well.
You do realize I'm writing four books right now, right? Four.
Mm-hmm.
one being edited, one being typed, one being written, and the other one is the question answers that our readers are compiling. And then there's another one that just began that's also a compilation of terms and a compilation of magical spells that my other group of masters are doing that I have to be involved with. So there are 4 or 5 books going right now. Which spare moment shall we do that one in?
Yeah, well, I'm not sure. It's just that I
tell you what we can do, Ruchir. I have a plan. I am perfectly happy during my 4 or 5 hours of sleep that we're getting at night. I am perfectly happy at that time to do a sleeping prophet, just like Edgar Cayce. I can translate everything for you in my sleep as long as I can sleep and you can record. How's that?
Yeah, that sounds good.
Are you sure about that? I thought you were going to say no.
No, I think it would be very interesting to get the practicals, very practical mystical knowledge such as this out, because especially in the light of the fact that I'm always a little bit uneasy about when I when I get contacted by people who are interested in your work, and I see that they're also heavily invested in astrology, because they're new to your work, and I'm always a bit worried that, you know, maybe
there's a contradiction.
Yeah,
well, there actually isn't, for the reasons that I've explained. But I'm very happy. I'm very happy to bring this information out, and it shouldn't be that difficult. What is more difficult is the interpretation of it. That's the only area. Just taking their dictation is fine. Perhaps they have the interpretation ready to give us. That will be fine, too. Then I will just scribe it, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and one thing I was still wondering about, because if what happens in the sky now is like an effect rather than a cause, just to sort of show us, then how can it be used to predict still?
It can be used to predict because Mother has made it a tool.
And
predict, if I may say, predict doesn't mean events. Because predict means influences. Because we have gone over this a lot on our show about how unpredictable events are when you're moving vertically in consciousness. And so it isn't that events can be predicted. Let's say a conspiracy is predicted, okay? Let's say somebody predicts that. It could also be a collaboration. A conspiracy could be hostile. A collaboration could be beneficial. And so when, you know, as we move from one level to the other, it will change from that which is non-life enhancing to that which is. And so, you know, and eventually it's full cooperation, it's unity within diversity, it's all of those things. Each time we move up, it changes. If astrology is doing its job properly, it will say this is the day when there will be cooperative effort. They cannot say that it will be hostile. They can say there's a hostile potential that could be changed to good, depending on whether the cosmos moves upward. There's a lateral factor in astrology that is not currently being considered. That's part of the problem.
What do you mean by that?
Well, the vertical factor, did I say lateral factor? I mean vertical.
You said lateral, yeah.
I'm sorry. The vertical factor is the issue of consciousness changing probabilities as it raises.
But you mean as in exponential growth, or?
That's a horizontal factor that's not considered. The vertical factor that's not considered in astrology is, in fact, that what is today a conspiracy, if we raise the planetary consciousness, tomorrow is a collaboration.
I see.
It's the, let's call it the sublimation effect.
Sublimation effect?
Sublimation effect. The nonlinear exponential nature that life has assumed creates horizontal explosions. So something that you can foresee will develop slowly over a month will go bing and it's out there. That's a different factor that's not being considered. There can be a brand new astrological system brought in. I mean, even as I'm speaking, I'm starting to hear Jean Galabruc language trying to give me information. You know, absolutely.
That's very interesting.
You know what I also believe that this could be? I received a three-dimensional model from this little tiny goddess of material life. We spoke about her, I think, in the last show or the show before. This little child goddess, never been born, never has she died. She represented all the cycles of ascension. This little child goddess drew me, in her childish little drawing, a three-dimensional model where the wheels are supposed to fit in. Those wheels are vertical because we don't have a year. We only have a moment. And so we can't map out a year in a linear way. There is no linear time. And so the linear year would have to be mapped out vertically. She drew that for me.
The linear year would have to be mapped out vertically.
Yes. Let me tell you how those wheels work. Now, I will tell you, there are 600 wheels. When Mother says that the moments are 300 wheels, that's because each wheel has actuality and potential. So there's a father wheel and there's a mother wheel for each moment. There's 600 wheels for 300, if you will, moments of days. Time is not linear. You cannot do astrology the way you did. So this system, there are 300 wheels. Imagine this. Okay, there's 600 wheels we've mapped out. They are extraordinary. They're also in the palace. Each one has something that means in mother's language, and it has an English translation that I translated it. So this is what we have currently. I've not known what to do with them, but I knew I had to do what mother said, and that's that. So they've been brought forward. They are 600 building blocks of life that have come and consolidated into one building block, subatomic particle for all life. But what they are, the 300 mother wheels stack in a vertical cylinder. They stack on top of each other like a loaf of bread turned on its end. The father wheels is a brown loaf of bread over here on the counter, also stacked vertically like a loaf of bread on its end. If you took those two loaves of bread and you pushed them together, the slices are going in between each other's slices. They're actually occupying the same space now. Now you have your correct model to access what eternal time is. Some of those wheels are stationary. Some, and they're occupying the brown slices and the white slices, are occupying not actually in between each other, but the same space. Some move to the left, some move to the right, some are stationary. Then some of those slices of bread move upwards through the other slices, and some of those slices of bread are moving downwards through the other slices. That's how that moves. But as an astrological model, you know, I know this is very deeply esoteric material, but as an astrological model, that's how you would have to do your days. Now, you're starting to take into consideration the vertical, what we call sublimation effect, the transforming upwards. Example, as the Earth started to ascend from its old position it was in 2004, in 2005 it started to ascend. Years started to fly by because the higher we went up in levels, the faster time flew by us. By the end of 2005, we were in 2011. That's a vertical effect that isn't taken into consideration. This is the only way it can be. I can figure it out. And to tell you the honest truth, I would love to figure it out. Because we would then also need the horizontal effect, and I've already received the beginning images that I can draw for us as we're speaking of that horizontal disc, if you will, that the vertical stack of wheels sits into. And then the whole thing sits into a three-dimensional model. So you'd have to not put it in a book, you'd have to like put it on a video screen or something.
Well, we can do that, but did you say anything about the, you haven't said anything about the horizontal effect, then, have you, or don't you know exactly how that would map out?
Well, I have not known any of this before starting to speak, you know, so I mean, I could possibly speak this as well and have it come out. Let me just understand what I'm really asking. And while I do this, it's time again for a little break, so we'll be back very soon.
A Life of Miracles is a deeply inspiring and motivational book in its content. It is unique in its field in making man's relationship as the microcosm to the macrocosm understandable to both beginning and advanced readers. It's a detailed guide to living a joyous and balanced life that provides a carefully laid out map to achieving the magnificent destiny that beckons at the apex of human experience, that of ascension. If you're ready to ascend to a higher consciousness, begin each day with A Life of Miracles or any other books, CDs, lectures, workshops, or her magazine by contacting Al Mean at www.spiritualjourneys.com. The Gift of the Unicorns is now available from Al Mean. The magical book answers the question, do mystical creatures like the winged horse Pegasus, mermaids, and giants truly exist? What is their roles, and how can they be called upon for assistance? In their own words, the unicorns reveal where they went during the ages of darkness, their heroism in preserving purity and innocence, their golden shoes, and the secret mission they undertook for the mother of all creation. To receive your copy of this amazing book of sacred secrets, The Gift of the Unicorns, go to www.spiritualjourneys.com or call 502-499-0016 today.
Welcome back. And we've got into a very deeply esoteric subject here. I hope our listeners are hanging in with us, but okay, so the new calendar has to be not linear. It has to be in the vertical effect and the horizontal effect. What the horizontal effect is about that we're talking about is that if information is no longer carried by light that moves in lines, in our recent interdimensional photos, we took multiple hundreds of them. When the light moved from a candle, it actually flowed down the candle and it puddled along the floor. As we went into higher realms, the light was all over the place. It stopped being on one spot. And this is, light is moving in fields. It's not moving in lines. It's only moving in lines for our scientists at this point if they're doing studies on it because we expect it to. And humanity has been keeping its old paradigm to a large extent in place because it's a timing mechanism. It is spinning moment by moment by moment. But it's a timing mechanism that it doesn't actually go too quickly. So if something is known or influenced on Earth, it isn't just influenced on Earth. There is no more exclusivity since Mother joined duality. Because the exclusiveness of this is that and this is the other, that's no longer there. That's why things like our bodies and so on of man, you know, the 12 bodies of man have gone into fields. So if we are influenced by something, the same influence applies into the outer reaches of space.
But
if
you said, what, just one moment, you said Mother joins duality. I'm not sure.
She healed duality.
All right, okay.
Duality being that which is moved apart. I'm sorry, I'm in a very altered space because I'm accessing such information that I didn't know before, you know, and when I get like that, my speech is a little awkward.
All right, please go on.
So if somebody, it's the hundredth monkey effect en masse. Someone knows something here, it's known throughout existence. The issue is just which information are you tapping into, but it's known. It's exponential. It doesn't flow linear. Someone grows, they don't grow linearly. They have the ability in this moment to go into mastery, which is why in 5 days of my classes, people are shooting into mastery, because it's exponential. So a light shines here. It shines throughout the whole field of existence. Light is accessed information. So that makes an effect, because let's say a profound piece of influence takes place astrologically, say, here on Earth. It changes humanity. If it changes humanity, it's going to change everything. If it changes everything, their changes are going to make things that are going to change us. So it's going to ricochet back and forth and back and forth across the cosmos immediately and exponentially as something changes. This is growth that just is, it's just astronomical. It's immediate. It's exponential. And the butterfly flutters its wings down in Belize, you know, and something changes in Romania. And so that effect is now a very profound reality of life. And in astrological computations, that has to be taken into consideration. Because if we are affected, say, by an alignment of the true planetary systems that lie around our body, our Earth's body. So we are affected by it. If we are affected, it affects everything else, and they change, and then their change affects us. And so how do you computate that in as you make an astrological prediction that such and such effect will be there tomorrow? So that's a horizontal disc. And, you know, I've seen the images of it on their wall. There's only something like, I forget now how many there were, but there's only something like 600 or so of them left, if I remember correctly. It is in the book of opening the doors of heaven. In fact, let us see, there are but a few hundred of us left. The wait has been long. I think that there were 690 something. I'm seeing the number 694 floating here in front of my face. So
that's the cat people, right?
The 94 of the cat people. But they have a very large, beautiful square library. It's a rectangle, actually, with long tables in them where they study these scrolls that they treat like gold dust. And they have big depictions on their walls. And one of the depictions had the wheels, and the wheels were stacked, and there was a horizontal, vast wheel around it with great complexity in it. I think that we may not necessarily have to understand it, that wheel will predict it. In other words, it's like a compass that you use. And I don't quite know what I've just said, what it means, but it's like a compass. You don't have to know where north is. You don't have to figure it out. You just have to look on your compass. So it could be like I'm seeing as I'm looking at this image that it has flat layers that turn. You turn this one. There's some sort of mathematical device like that here. What is that called? You turn one way, turn the other one the other way, turn the other one. I think it works maybe with trigonometry. But anyway, there are spheres within spheres with various markings on it, and they turn in different directions. You set them based on information from your vertical stack of wheels and the Jungalabruch clock that's in opening the doors of heaven, which is calibrated according to Greenwich Mean Time, so that we know what time of the day it is, even if we live in Cape Town or we live in Sydney. on the Jongalabru clock, but it's the clock and the wheels, and you turn them a certain way to the day that you're looking at, and in fact, the hour of the day that you're looking at. And then the rest of the wheel immediately shows you the influence of that moment.
What I'm actually wondering is if this would be an object that a wheel that could be like created in 3D as like sort of like, you know, set in stone, so to speak,
yes,
as a static object.
One could make you just need a little thumbtack, and you can make your circles with it, and you'd use your thumbtack. You put it on, say, a flat piece of cardboard, and you thumbtack it in there, and you just turn your circles. That's easy because it's horizontal.
Okay, but if you would combine that with the vertical one, I'm just wondering if you would really require to create some computer program, or if it could really just be made of wood and stone, so to speak.
I think you would eventually. It depends how technical you get. You can literally map this out to a minute. It depends how technical you get. And it can definitely would be enhanced by, what do you call it? I have no idea about computers. A CD-ROM or something? Is that the right word?
Well, that's what you could put it on, yeah.
Okay.
I mean,
proud of myself.
Well, I mean, I don't.
I handwrite my books, folks. I'm not even computer literate. So.
But, I mean, I was just wondering if it would actually have to be some sort of computer program in terms of being able to map out something which grows exponentially and with the sublimation effect, because it seems like that would, you know, be something which would be more like maybe, say, a fractal than something which goes very linearly.
You know, I don't understand the word fractal very well. I don't really know what that means.
Well, I'm just using it in terms of the image, where it's, I think, fractal is something that goes exponentially as well, but I'm not sure. But
so, yep, lots of questions. Well, you know what? Let's try before we're sort of coming close to our final section, and I want to make sure we cover some other things, too. This is fascinating. I would be delighted if somebody could plonk me in a corner and let me do this for another week. Well, it would take me about a month, actually. Maybe 3 weeks. It's 3 weeks.
Okay. Well, yeah, I mean, that's why I went on about it for a little bit, because I think it's actually a very fascinating subject.
Yes, it is.
One will be sure
to
hear more.
I learned a great deal. Thank you very much.
Okay. Now, do you want to go on to the next theme, or?
Do you have a short one, or do you just have a big theme?
One moment.
You know, Rogier, let's do this. We'll take another quick break, and then we'll be back.
The world of mysticism has yet another reason to rejoice. Almeen has authored another manuscript of profound knowledge. It's entitled Opening the Doors of Heaven, Revelations of the Mysteries of Isis. Through a time travel tunnel linking Ireland and Egypt, Isis has sent a small group of masters to prepare for the day when the mysteries would once again be released to the world to restore balance and enhance life. They established the Order of the White Rose to guard the sacred objects and the secrets of Isis. In an unprecedented event heralding the advent of a time of light, these mysteries are released for the very first time. Packed with truly thought-provoking information, this book is bound to have an indelible impression on not only the reader, but on global New Age philosophy. To reserve your copy of this groundbreaking work, go to www.spiritualjourneys.com or call 502-499-0016. In this, the fourth book, The Ring of Truth, which chronicles Almeen's journey, she tells of the promise and the potential inherent in the resurgence of the feminine principle, increasingly felt in all aspects of current human experience. The operation of new laws governing the cosmos are explained together with the reasons for their creation. we are introduced to Mother, the primal creative energy that pervades every aspect of existence. We learn of her love and her laws and how to incorporate them into every thought and act. We are given samples of her divine language, its meaning, and its power. Mother's great gift to humanity, the healing power of Belvaspada, is revealed. This new approach to dissolving disease of mind, spirit, and body replaces previously existing methodologies. Application of its techniques removes old barriers of physically oriented existence and opens a broad pathway to a life of joy and fulfillment. Discover Mother and the Ring of Truth, as well as all of Almeen's books, CDs, lectures, workshops, or magazine by logging on to www.spiritualjourneys.com.
So we have just about actually 10 minutes left here. So what would you like us to talk about, Julia?
Well, in one of the previous episodes, for sure, you spoke of God consciousness, and actually you spoke of people who come to the class to your pod, actually, and they enter in identity consciousness and leave in silence of the mind, or at least with the option to access the silence of the mind. And I think you were telling this previously to illustrate this point about how fast growth is now, but there was actually a question about it as well, because you may seem to give the impression there that if you leave like that, you're necessarily going to stay there, but there have been some accounts of people who kind of knocked themselves out of it somehow, back into identity consciousness. And as a separate point, there also seems to be this impression that once you're in God consciousness, it's like this sort of like immunity, and you can kind of just sit back and nothing can take you out of it anymore. But those aren't really correct, but I thought you could probably answer that a little bit better than me.
To my great astonishment, I have found that even if you go into the God kingdom, if you go against your highest truth, that you can fall out. And especially, I mean, there is real strict responsibility given when you're in the God kingdom and you become one of the major way-sharers of the planet. The impeccability that's needed and the respect and the gratitude for the path that you walk in, for your incredible consideration of every action's effect on all life, it's imperative. And I've seen some of the gods in the flesh here on earth fall out of the God kingdom because they get divisive or arrogant or any of those things, or they think they know better than Mother. That's been a major issue. So that can happen. Now, as for God consciousness, the further you go into the stages, and there are times when we experience such miracles in our classes that the participants will shoot much further than just barely going into God consciousness, although that's not to be slighted, that's a major accomplishment. But they go much further than that. They go into ascended mastery. And the further they go, the least likely they are to fall out. I will give you the words of the oracle for the Order of the Unicorns, which is the oracle and master, Denisa. And she is the one that is arranging in the beautiful setting in Colorado, the Colorado workshop that's coming up later, I believe, this year. I think it's in September. So the Master Denisa, when she first went into her ascended mastery levels, I mean, she said, Almeen, this is like I'm on the deepest drug that I've ever experienced. Because, you see, the experience was so profound because it happened almost immediately. She shot through her stages into that stage. Today she's an incredible incredible oracle for these sacred orders and walks between worlds most beautifully. I'm so extremely, you know, honored and proud to be her friend and teacher in some ways. So, you know, when she comes to my classes, my brothers and sisters, there's no falling out for her because of how profound this experience was. And if you do happen to go to the Colorado workshop, you can meet her, the same as Drew of the Master and Oracle Ruth, who is the Alaska facilitator. And we have our Irish masters that, when you come to an organized pod that somebody other than myself is organizing, you meet these masters. When you just go into God consciousness, the fear of that place of great emptiness can pull you out of it. Or if you don't value it, or if you think what's happening is dysfunctional, or it happens so easily, which is now the case, you see, that you don't recognize the great advantage of it. So that it can, yes.
Well, I mean, the reason why I thought it was a worthwhile question to ask as well is because I thought it was a good idea to avoid this impression that, you know,
you have arrived.
You come to the class, you have arrived, and now you can just walk out the door and do whatever you want, but you'll just stay there because, you know, I remember a friend of mine getting also, well, of ours actually, but getting also kind of upset about so-and-so in God consciousness and then getting what seemed like some sort of disease and, you know, as if that was a contradiction, but it need not be the case, basically.
There definitely is the responsibility of the master to make sure that they do not live in the near time, because the immortality of the body requires that you be out of linear time. And we have spoken on, I think it was our last show, of the assemblage point and what it is. And the assemblage point, you know, it's going to be in a specific location, if you will, when you're in linear time versus another location when you're in eternal time. And that is what determines immortality. Somebody can't just show up for a week and be given the opportunity to be in the silence of the mind, not use that opportunity, and not put themselves in eternal time and expect that now they're never going to get sick. Doesn't work that way.
No, but it's good to point that out.
Absolutely.
So, but then you're saying about, because I was wondering about that as well at some point, in what way we're using the term immortality, because we're actually referring around the fields, we're referring to the fields around the body or the actual body itself or both.
The fields around the body will happen from the experiences in class. They transfigure. In the case of ascended mastery, it is very specifically the mental bodies that transfigure. And we've mapped that out very carefully in the Ring of Truth as well as in the back of Secrets of the Hidden Realms. But it takes being in eternal time and living in it for someone to bring their body into immortality as well. So you're quite right. The body doesn't always follow suit, because if you take a look at some of the yogis in India, for instance, they sit in divine bliss, you know, and they have horrifically unhealthy bodies. They're sitting there, you know, with lice crawling on their bodies. And because they don't even remember to bath, because they're so expanded. And I understand that. I've been places where I've had to carry a little book with me to know if I brushed my teeth, if I fed my child. I have to check the book. So I had to have it dangle from my belt, because I couldn't retain anything. I was that expanded. It was just a phase I went through, but it was the very initial phases of God consciousness. And I had to put my budget down there, everything, because I just couldn't remember from hour to hour.
Yeah, I found that interesting, because a few years ago I noticed that with a few of the, one, for example, famous Indian enlightened master, and I think also a few Zen masters, but that they were enlightened and yet they developed cancer, and it was always portrayed as a kind of, you know, this sort of tribulation that they had to transcend, and I'm sure they did, but I only recently got, actually in the last show, that if you think of cancer and its relation to presence or lack thereof, then of course it makes total sense that someone who's completely out there, deep in bliss, well, might have some bodily issues
Absolutely.
To deal with.
It's not an arrival point, it's just a journey, and it's part of the journey. And just to summarize what Rukhir is talking about, for those that didn't listen to our last show, cancer, we spoke about what cancer is exactly, but it only comes in where there is abandonment of self. And it is a total avoidance of life to stay in those stages of bliss and not re-engage. It also halts any kind of progress. And you can read much about that in our books. And my brothers and sisters, we need to close for our day, and we will be with you again next week. Thanks a lot for this day.
Almien continues the exploration begun in her previous books, A Life of Miracles and Journey to the Heart of God, probing further into the nature and meaning of existence. Secrets of the Hidden Realms introduces the readers to the goddess mysteries as they apply not only to individual human lives, but to the cycles of the cosmos. From this background in the intangible functions of being, Almien is led into the dimensions of non-humans, interacting with creatures previously known only in myth and folklore, the inner relationships of fairies, dragons, gnomes, unicorns, and other elementals, and their influence on humankind is explained. Vivid accounts of encounters with these beings and others existing as expressions of the widely divergent vibrations illustrate the essential unity of all creation. Journeying from these subtle realms, the reader is shown the ultimate expression of humanity, evolution into God-being. Secret of the Hidden Realms can be obtained from Almien, along with her other books, CDs, workshops, lectures, and magazine by logging on to www.spiritualjourneys.com.
We hope you've enjoyed today's show, Windows into Eternity with Almien. Please join us again next week.